Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special teaching, You've Already Got It, was recorded at the 2013 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, here's an example of what I'm talking about. It's like if the Lord was to speak to you during this conference and you were to understand God's love for you, and if you just really got touched and you, God spoke to you. But if you don't place the proper value on this, if you don't say that wasn't just the word of a man, that was the word of God. God spoke to me. God told me some things. God told me that he loved me. If you don't place the proper value on it, you know, Paul said this. He says, we pray that you would receive the word of God, not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God that lives and abides forever. Paul was praying that they would value the word, not just as a human messenger, but they would recognize God was speaking through him. God has touched people in these meetings this week, but if you just believe that it's only Andrew, it's just the word of a man, and you don't recognize that it's the Holy Spirit that spoke to you, if you don't place the proper value on it, then Satan will come and steal that word from you. He'll diminish it. You know, it's like if you had something sitting on your front seat of your car. You know, most people automatically lock their car and stuff. But if you had a dime, you know, on the front seat of your car, some of you might not lock the car thinking it's not that important. But if you had $1 million in the front seat of your car, first of all, you probably wouldn't leave it in your car. But if you did, I guarantee you, you'd lock that car. You would have somebody stand there. You would protect it because of the value that you place on that. When you don't value something properly, Satan just comes and takes it from you. But when you value something, when it's important, boy, you keep your attention on that. You are focused on it. You aren't going to let somebody come steal it. And the Bible makes it very clear, Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and other places, it says once the seed has been sown, once the word is sown, Satan comes immediately to steal away the word that's been sown in your heart. I can promise you, if God showed you how much he loved you here this week, I can guarantee you that Satan is going to come in the next few days and do something to try and steal this revelation of how much God loves you. And he's got a million ways of doing it. One of the easy ways is he's got so many people that are submitted unto him that when you go to work on Monday, I mean, all the devil's got to do is just goad somebody a little bit, and they just, for whatever reason, who knows, they just get on your case and go to criticizing you and criticizing your work and speaking against you. And if you aren't careful, you will take your attention away from what God showed you about how much he loved you. And you'll go to look at this person who's criticized you, and you will go to esteeming them and wanting their acceptance more than you want the acceptance of God. And see, that's how he steals from you, is you just didn't value it. But if you were to place the proper value on God, if you were to get to where, God, you showed me that you love me, and if you were focused on that, you could reach a place to where it doesn't matter. Your mate could come out against you. Your children could come out against you. Your boss could come out against you. Your dog could bite you. You wouldn't care. You're just thinking about, man, God loves me. God loves me. You would be focused on that, and it wouldn't matter. You know, I've used this example before. It's like a seesaw. You know, if you got a seesaw, you got a fulcrum here in the middle, and you got this thing, and both ends can't be up at the same time. If this end is up, the other end's got to be down, and vice versa. If you put high value on God and how much he loves you over here, then your comparative worth on the opinions of other people and on their acceptance or rejection has to be down here. And if somebody goes to criticizing you and you think, oh man, I want this person to love me. How am I going to work here if this person feels this way about me? And if you go to longing to have their acceptance and you start valuing their opinion, the moment you start valuing that and increasing it, this comes down. And you devalue, you quit glorifying, you quit esteeming what God has done in your life, and Satan will steal that from you. Does everybody follow what I'm saying? Amen. my own personal life, I had this experience with the Lord, March 23rd, 1968. I was only 18 years old. I didn't know what happened, but I just knew God touched me, and I knew I was never going to be the same. I didn't sleep all night long. I got up the next morning. I stood in front of my Baptist church, and I told them. I said, I don't know what happened, but I'm changed. I'll never be the same. I said, I think I'm filled with the Spirit. I thought that sounded good. I'd read it in the Bible. I didn't see that as being bad. You'd have thought I used profanity. People came out against me. Who do you think you are? The pastor of the church told me Paul was filled with the Spirit. Are you putting yourself in the category with Paul? And you know what? Every person that I respected, the people who were professional Christians, and everybody who was important, they were saying, they were disesteeming my experience. They were saying, you've missed it. This isn't God. This is your flesh. God would you never lead you to say you're filled with the Spirit. I didn't understand all of this back then. I hadn't read these scriptures. But you know what? I just knew that I knew that I knew that I meant with God and that God loved me. And I remember just being shocked at people's reaction. And I didn't know what their problem was, but I said, I don't care what you say. I know God loves me. I know God carries my picture in His wallet. And I refused to disesteem what God had spoken to me. And I actually got kicked out of that church. I got voted out of that church because they thought I was arrogant, because I was saying, man, God loves me. God's got a purpose for my life. God's got a plan for my life. And I had all of the leaders, all of the influential people. And you know what? I had a tendency to esteem them. This is back before I was married, and my mother, I was living with my mother. My dad died when I was 12. My brother and sisters were gone. And my mother and I were super close. She was my best friend. And my mother thought I lost my mind. She didn't talk to me for 2 weeks. And when I finally took her out to buy, I bought her a meal and I said, you are going to talk to me. And she started talking and she cried and she says, I'm so ashamed of you. And you know what? I had a tendency to sit there and say, well, man, if I'm going to lose my mother's approval and value of my mother, well, then forget this and I'm going to value this. I had the tendency to do that. But I just told my mother, I said, look, I don't know what your problem is, but man, God meant with me. God's changed my life. And I refuse to decrease the value that I have placed on God. And because of it, I've never lost the benefit of it. I got kicked out of that church. My mother eventually came around, became one of my biggest supporters and helped me. But I mean, I went through a lot of things. I got drafted and sent through Vietnam. And you know what? It didn't change anything. I kept valuing. It looked like that my experience with the Lord was ruining my life. Because when I had this encounter, prior to that, I was in school. I had a student deferment from the draft. I had $350 a month coming to me from my father's death through his Social Security as long as I stayed in school. I had monetary reasons. I had physical reasons. Everybody told me that I was of the devil when I said that God led me to quit school. But you know what? This is just what God spoke to me. And I was so in love with God and trusting God so much, I just didn't care what people said. I remember that during that period of time when I quit school, they sent me for a physical for the Army. And after I got that physical, I had a recruiter come to my house. And this guy was like 30-something years old. I was 18 years old. And he came to my house and he walked in and he opened his briefcase and spread all of his stuff out and started giving me the spiel about how beneficial it is to volunteer for the draft instead of be drafted. And he started telling me all this stuff. And I said, I can save both of us a lot of time. And he says, how's that? And I said, the reason I'm classified 1A and that I went and got my physical and that you're here is because I quit school and that lost my student deferment. And he said, that's right. And I said, but God told me to quit school. And when I said that, this guy laughed. He started laughing at me. You know what he was doing? I was esteeming God and saying, God spoke to me and God told me to quit school. He laughed at God. He laughed at the one who I was in love with and trust and It made me mad. And I told him, I said, hey, God's responsible for this. And the Lord's the one that told me to do it. And if he wants me to be drafted, I'll be drafted. And if he doesn't want me to be drafted, I won't be drafted. And this guy laughed and he says, boy, I can guarantee you, you're going to Vietnam. And when he said that, I mean, I stood, and you know what? He was trying to get me to devalue what God had said to me and my relationship with God. And I remember, here he was, a representative of the mightiest nation on the face of the earth, the one that had the power to draft me, send me someplace, get me killed. And I remember standing up and putting my finger right in this guy's chest. And I said, buddy, if God wants me drafted, I'll be drafted. And if he doesn't, you or the United States government or every demon in hell can't draft me. And this guy just put his stuff in his briefcase, folded it up, and walked out. Never said another word. And guess what? The next day, I had my draft notice in the mailbox. I wished I'd have looked to see if there was a stamp on it. I'm not sure that it was mailed. I bet you this guy went down, processed it himself, and put it in my mailbox. I don't know. But I didn't care. I meant it. And you know what? I just refused to take away and value the recruiter's opinion, the United States government, my mother, my pastor, my friends. Everybody else told me I was of the devil. And then I was missing God, and they tried to devalue what God had done in my life. And I just kept saying no. And I kept honoring and valuing God. I praise God for it. And you know, because of it, I've never lost the benefit of it. I can guarantee you, if at one time the Lord has touched your life, some way, somehow, something happened that you started valuing. You valued the opinion of other people. You valued something. You started putting your attention and focus on something else, and you decreased the value that you placed on what God did.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on You've Already Got It. This five-part series was recorded at the 2013 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar, and it's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM255 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fifth CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I would like to encourage you to pray about becoming a partner with us. You know, we're reaching a lot of people through these radio programs, and the gospel is changing people's lives, but it costs money. I couldn't do this if it wasn't for our partners. I know many of you have been blessed by this teaching, and yet you've received, but you've never become a partner. I'd like to ask you to pray about it. I believe that the Lord is going to impress many of you about joining with us financially so that we can continue and even expand this radio ministry and the television ministry and all of the other things that we do. So please pray about becoming a partner with us, and then respond by calling in and letting us know that you're going to stand with us on a monthly basis.